The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Hi. How are you? Good morning, America. Yeah, it's good to be back, everybody. Thank you to Todd and Robin and everybody who made it to the show over the last several days. It was a great honeymoon. I'm glad to be back here in the studio and to talk about the world that continues to fall down around us. Oh, my God. Where do we even begin on this case? We're going to be focusing on the Siders today, the 16 kids horror story. This is like The Hills Have Eyes come to life, but it makes The Hills Have Eyes kind of feel like the Ritz-Carlton Diamond Collection, because it's just, it's so beyond comprehension. Or is it? Or no is doubt. It? 16 children found in an Ohio home, Hamden, Ohio. Some who can't speak, some who can't read, an 18-year-old who can't write her own name, the AG calling it pure evil. The only reason anyone found them was a misdemeanor because the guy couldn't stop showing his junk to the neighbors. Okay. We got a lot to get through today on this. Let's start with the Dollar General employee. I want to talk about competency. I want to talk initially about the people who saw this and said nothing. It's not to blame, but I think more systemically a problem in our society with situations like this. Because in my opinion, and I'm curious to know what you think, Robin, this is not an isolated incident. It's certainly not with these folks to have attention being drawn to them. But I'm saying in general, there are people like this everywhere. We just like to look the other way. We like to drive through those neighborhoods and go, oh, what's going on with that house? And there's no oversight. We don't fund the departments and the municipalities and the authorities and things that overlook the well-being of children and families to a level where they can investigate these sort of things and take care of these sort of things. And then we're all shocked when one of these finally reaches headline level. I bet someone challenged me with money today. I could go find a neighborhood and probably find about 10 of these, you know, in the course of an hour. If you know exactly where to look and you know this, I mean, this is not a rare thing. And I think that that's important to remember. But let's start with the Dollar General employee, describing them to reporters in detail, hygiene, the clothes, the closing time runs for years, people noticing these folks, nobody reporting anything. But I guess, you know, you report it and then what? I mean, what? And nothing happens when people do. What do you make of this? Just all these people who have seen these people, maybe said something, maybe didn't say anything, and this sort of behavior just running rampant.
There's so many aspects of this that just ring true, like you're saying, of the problems we have with our culture, our society, and just us as a species of what we do when we normalize or accept the normalized behavior that others present to us. And when that happens, what do you say? What do you do? Because I seriously doubt if people really wrestled too hard with what they saw because they didn't say anything. So there's numerous things that go into that. You have groupthink, and what happens a lot of times, groupthink, as a matter of fact, I mean, if you can actually Google this on YouTube, Google's on YouTube, you can actually look it up and search it on YouTube, where you can actually see these social experiments where you see someone in need and fell down, like on a college campus, and they did it as an experiment, and they gave students, you know, a deadline to make it to class by, and you see people blowing by someone in obvious need on you know, lying down, looking like they're in trauma, but because they themselves had something to get to, they'll blow by them, because, again, we're always going to look out for our own best interests. That's part of it. Then you also have the experiments that they did on the old candid camera in Alan Funt, where you have, you know, three or four people on an elevator all facing one way, and they get the other person that is actually facing the right way to turn around. Because we don't want to look out of place. We want to fit in. We want to conform. And so that is part of what goes on here. Then you have the normalcy of a culture and situation, economic, social status, economic status that gets normalized. And in this case, if you have that many kids, basically, what was it, one a year or one every other, or yeah, every year and a half, yeah, for like 18 years, yeah, you know, they've desensitized the fact that their family does this. And granted, now, I don't know these people, but if you, so when we have liking that happens, again, we have our own confirmation biases. And so say this person or a couple comes in, and I'll just use conjectures. I don't know what it was like for this Dollar General employee, but say you walk in a front door, and even if you walk in, you smell, you're disheveled, your kids are in bare feet, it's an atrocious scene, but you present yourself nice, friendly, accommodating, little head tilt and smile, you're generous, gregarious, they're going to excuse so many behaviors because that first impression was a positive first impression. So that also, that'll play into it if that's the case here or in any other case. And so liking goes a long way in these things. And then when we look at, you know, systemic problems with institutions and organizations for childcare, for protective care, for services, these are reactive organizations. They're not proactive organizations. In other words, how many of these people are paid to go out and find problems? Or are they paid to react to problems reported to them? So if no one reports a problem, there's not going to be any action. Then, again, how the sausage is made here, as the great Bob Mata says, how many of these people are paid a wage that they're going to attract people that actually want to give a shit? And granted, I know these people give a shit, but at the same time, if you're not being paid a good wage, because I definitely know that people that are working in these most critical areas of childcare, of foster homes, all these things, they're the most underpaid state employees in the entire country. And so when you couple all these things together, and then you have a family like this, I don't think they're evading law enforcement or evading accountability was intentional. It's just a byproduct of their transient lifestyle because they couldn't make a wage anywhere because they got married when they were stupid young. Well, she was 15 where the parents signed off. And so now you have generational stupid kicking in. They talk about generational trauma. So what I'm saying is, we got a large, this is a tsunami / hurricane of a perfect storm of everything going sideways.
They're mutants. I don't know where to put it.
They are mutants.
They are. They're mutants. These are not human beings. These are societal mutants. And I think we need to start recognizing that. That's what's going on. These are mutants. And mutants should not be raising children. And when, I mean, go to any Dollar General in rural America and you will find these folks lurking in and out of the store at all hours of the day with children. I've lived in some of these areas before.
I go to them all the time.
Oh my God. I mean, and it's, and the, I, there's, it's so broken because even if you give a shit, even if you, you see something and let's say, let's just start there at the give a shit level, because there's so many people who just don't because they got their own stuff going on, or they're at this super low level of thinking and ability and cognitive ability, which I believe, honestly, when you look at this you know, incestual hellhole that these people are from, I mean, these are folks who probably do not have the cognitive ability to care for themselves, more or less other people. But yet as a society, we go and say, oh, live and let live. We need to stop doing that if we truly give a shit about other human beings. Yeah. Otherwise, we're just wearing the bumper sticker or the pin or the ribbon or whatever that says we pretend to care. But as then you go into the store and it's Mutants R Us walking around and you're like, Jesus Christ, you know, these poor kids. I mean, I do it all, go to these stores like, those kids are fucked. Like, those are the first things I think half the time. And it's just like, and it's horrible. And there's nothing I can do about it. You can report it. And there's, and then, so give a shit. That starts there. You see something. Oh God, these kids are effed. You say something. Who do you say something to? You say something to them. You're going to get a grunt and a drool, and then they're going to, you know, buy a beef stick and a Red Bull. And then to do something to the people that actually could do something, that's the problem. There is nobody to do something. There's a department that supposedly is there. It's underfunded. It's undereducated. It's understaffed. There's...
Overwhelmed,
and we don't seem that's the bigger problem as a society. We don't seem to give a shit enough to fund the departments and the places. And if we're going to actually have societal safeguards in place, in actual action, we don't do that. We just pretend they exist and we tell ourselves that they're there. And then we go, la, 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 la. I'm not going to pay attention to this. I'm just going to buy my shit over here. And you go check out and take your mutant family back home and abuse the shit out of them. And I'm going to pretend that I never see you. That seems to be how most of this works. What needs to change that these departments that exist for human services of protecting children, other than funding? I don't know what's going on here, because this just seems to be systematic to a point where I'm starting to be very suspicious of the actual departments that are supposed to be, you know, monitoring families and children as being more so a clearinghouse for child trafficking. And that may be why they're not being funded so well, because nobody wants to take a closer look as to how these children never got on the map to begin with, or the millions that go missing every year. We don't know what happened to them, and there's no oversight for it. And there's 1,000 questions in there. But my God, this is systemic. This is not rare. This happens everywhere. Everybody who's hearing this knows exactly what I'm talking about, whether you're in the Dollar General, the Walmart, or whatever store at any place in the country. We see this shit all the time, and there's nothing anyone can do because, well, you know, we don't judge. Maybe we should.
And part of it, you know, again, if you, as I'm a studier and lover of history, because history is always prologue to what we see today, non-political whatsoever, but people keep then deferring to, well, we'll just give it to the government. The government will take care of it. And so people get in that deferring to someone else to take care of this problem because it's messy. It's smelly. I don't want to deal with it. You know, years and years ago at the founding of our country, and even before that, granted, there are many, many things that could be fixed at all times in history, including our time in history, obviously in this area. But communities, because when you didn't have a federal government or a state government that was so bloated with money and taxpayer money, it was up to the communities, churches, and families to actually take care of people because no one else was. And so deprivation and struggles drive innovation, a lot of things, and a lot of problem solving. And so that's, so if you look at the problems of these things back historically, they haven't gotten better with more government. They just getting shifted to placing a blame onto someone else. And so this comes down to, I think what we're saying here is really more personal accountability of everyone to say something, step in. When you see a wobble in life, and when you see something deviating from that pattern of what's typically accepted, and is, again, and this is what people have a hard time getting through, is by taking action, you're not judging. By taking action means you're getting curious because something looks a little different. I do this all the time in every aspect of my life. When something gives me a little bit of a wobble, it grabs my attention, and I get curious. Like, tell me more about this. Tell me more about this. I see it all the time, whether I'm going to my local YMCA. It happens in our cases when we have people going into Walmarts buying body bags.
The body bag section at Walmart.
I still can't get over that one. Or
that's
David.
On Amazon. That's Amazon where you get the body. Although I'm guessing maybe on the website. I don't know.
No. What did that one guy do? He was walking out of Walmart. You know, he's loading up his trunk with what is all the stuff he bought? God, I can't remember that case. But yeah, it was, David did the same thing though on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
It's just stuff that kind of sticks out of the norm that grabs your attention. You just have to lean in. And again, the squeaky, I said this so much while you're gone too, Tony, it's that squeaky wheel that gets the oil. When a system's overloaded, and you have people like me who's a federal employee trying to triage every single day because you are compelled, and this is where my heart and soul are going to go out to the people that actually are doing these jobs, underpaid, underfunded, and overwhelmed, but they're still showing up every day to do it. They don't, a lot of times they need help to know what to triage first, because when you have 1,000 things in front of you, each one of them are worthy. How do you triage something to the top? Well, how do you triage that? If you're not going to give it more funding, if you're not going to give it the resources it needs, you need someone to create a filter for you. Say, listen, I know you have 1,000 things, but really right now you have 18 children right here, right now. Go. That's what it takes. And that comes down to that personal accountability we should all have more of.
We need to prioritize what we actually give a shit about in this country. Because I mean, and we actually, that we truly do. I'm not just pretending to, because we don't give a shit about children unless they're, you know, this specific, you know, look demographic or whatnot, or I don't know. Smell. I mean, it's insane, you know, and it's a lie. We tell ourselves, oh, there's a system in place for that, that the government takes care of that, that there is, I'll call CPS on you, and they're like, oh, great, so they'll do nothing. I mean, it's just, if the systems worked, that would be a different story. But we put no priority on these systems, or fund them, or staff them. We need an army of people at this point to handle the mutant problem that we have in this country, and to rescue these children. Otherwise, they're just going to perpetuate it. They'll become mutant 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, and by the time they're 14, they'll have 14 more of them. It's just, it's out of control.
So, this is, again, it's kind of granular on how the sausage is made on this one. One of the problems I saw inside the FBI and in all government institutions was, and this is the hard one to get through, to figure out how to solve this. So, say you have a pot of money that you're collecting through your taxes, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have people, executives, and people, heads of departments, that are told you're allocated this amount of money. And we're going to, let's assume the glass is half full, and these people are very altruistic. They're not there for careers, not there for advancement. They're there because they care passionately about the mission. In order for them to be able to get more money, to be able to save more people, they have to show the stats of what they're able to do, the cases they're able to solve, and bring to conclusion. So I saw in my own career, the challenge I faced every day was, how do I articulate to my bosses who just, in order to get funding for my cases, in order to get funding for what I was doing, in order to get support from executive management, I had to be able to show, here's the problem, here's the action, here's the result, in a very short timeline, because you're then rated and graded off the stats you created for your bosses. Because in order to get funding from a bean counter, you got to show the beans that you counted. And when you start getting 1 or 2 degrees of separation removed from the granular issues of 18 kids living in squalor, beyond squalor, that's one, think about it. That is one problem solved, even though it's 18 children. Meanwhile, if I can actually focus on this, 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 and over here, where there's only 1 or 2 children potentially, that's 3 beans.
Yeah.
And this counts. Well, so that's the granular the part
broken.
Of it. Yeah, it
all
is.
Of, all it's of it totally doesn't
broken.
Work.
The accountability of it.
Yeah. None of it makes any sense. I mean, if you look at our education system too, in many, I know it's a lot of it state by state, but there are federal, lanes of this too. So much of it, funding for schools, at least I know in my state, is very much based on the performance of the school. And typically, statistically, in lower income areas, in less educated areas, you're not going to have as high performing schools. You're getting children that are coming from families that they're not able to raise their kids to a higher level initially. But this is where you would go, okay, this is where the education system can come in. Maybe we should be funding those areas, those specific schools, a bit more to help raise those kids up beyond where they came from. But no, our system says we're going to fund them less. We're going to give them less because they're doing shitty. We're going to punish you with less. What the fuck? If there's any place where there's a deficiency, this is where you would spend some attention. If you're in the private sector, if you're like, well, we could work on something over here, you might need a little more funding. Not blind funding, but funding in very targeted areas to help raise things up. And we do the opposite. We're like, oh, you're doing shitty? We're going to take some more from you, and then some more from you, and then some more from you. And then you have these schools that are with poor children that are being undereducated, and the system's underfunded, then you get the worst teachers oftentimes. And I'm not trying to knock everyone. There's some lovely, wonderful teachers in those schools. My wife happens to be one of them.
You said wife on here.
Yeah, it is. But but I see it. I mean, there are wonderful ones, but you also have a very high burnout rate in places like that because of the underfunding and everything. Yep. So they don't last very long. So you get entry level. You get the folks who are not going to have the mental capacity or rep to be equipped to help those children in the ways that they should. So it just becomes this vicious cycle of under-education, underfunding, and then rinse and repeat.
Yeah, it's, and my wife's the same thing. She's a teacher in elementary school, and the system's so overwhelmed here that, and I live in a very good area in Virginia, and they bring in trailers because of not enough money, not for all the students they're bringing in. The classroom sizes, unbelievable. Again, I know we're going astray of this, but again, it's the problem of
it's where the system.
Of where we're putting our, and I wish we had the answer for it.
I know we're not going to solve it here, obviously, but this is so much more of a conversation than just shock, horror, hoarder house. This is such a systematic, common problem. And when I heard this story, I'm like, this shit's happening everywhere.
Yeah,
like, let's not pretend this is some sort of weird one-off. It's not. One more on this, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the observations of the community. And I'll give you my thoughts on this too. You were talking about the noise of this, where there's this buzz here, there's wobble here, and there's just so many wobbles. Eventually, if everybody's wobbling, that becomes the norm. The goalposts keep moving. Neighbor 3 doors down, 6 years, says he never saw a single child, 20 people, 1,300 square foot house. Do you buy it? Do you buy that he didn't see anything? I'm not saying they're lying, but I'm wondering if this is just such a normalcy of the society in the area that this is just another Tuesday.
I think it is. I think it is a normalcy. I've read numerous, again, I live in a decent area, luckily in Virginia, but I read and consume an awful big amount of stuff, and you read things, like the Pulitzer Prize winner on Demon Copperhead. And that is a book about rural Virginia down, I think it was around Bristol area, right on Tennessee border. Very similar to, again, put your politics aside. If you read J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, also talks about Appalachia, talks about, living and growing up in that kind of culture. That is such a normalcy of behavior that it's because it's actually a lot of them helping each other through these rough times, and then just... it's not given a pass. It's just again, like you said, normalcy.
We do give it a pass. Isn't that quaint? Isn't that cute? There's plenty of other groups throughout our country where it's like live and let live to a certain extent, but then they reproduce. And I mean, if we actually give a shit about these kids, we got to kind of stop with some of this shit. And we got to cop, no, this isn't a help. We're an elevated society, unless we don't want to be. We don't need to accept horrific, you know, behavior, generational trauma to just keep repeating itself over and over and then be surprised by the results. Like, oh, weren't they quaint? Like, oh, do you see all the horrible abuse that they're doing to their friends and their family and their young girls while you buy their bread at the roadside stand? You know what I'm talking about there. I mean, that sort of shit exists everywhere. And we just like to look the other way and pretend that if I don't know about it, then it's not happening.
Well, here's a glass half full, as Robin always does, is that, you know, it's because of us. You know, there's lots of shows covering this. And this didn't exist before because, you know, way back before CNN even came about in the 80s, I remember when it was invented and you had the 24-hour news cycle and people had to sell marketing, you know, on those things. And so you only had four channels on TV covering news for 30 minutes a night. And so these things get overlooked. But now these things aren't getting overlooked by everyone. We're covering it. Other people are covering it. And so what happens is when people start going for elections in areas that we cover these things, hopefully, again, it's like the Titanic. Big ship, small rudder, heading for an iceberg. You turn that rudder hard over, you're still going to hit that iceberg, but maybe not straight on. You're going to glance it. So hopefully, by us covering and others people's covering it, you know, it's going to start slowly shifting that awareness that society has. Because again, being the glass half full, there are many. We only cover really dark, broken people, I know, generally, but there are so many more good people than dark people out there. And so the more they're aware of it, I think the more it'll keep shifting.
And that's where the good needs to be empowered enough to do something about the bad. There's too many protections on the bad, it feels like, that enables the horrible behavior and then also does not stop the cycle of the behavior and the allowing of continual reproduction
into these
communities, because you just create more mutants and these kids are screwed. They are they have no choice in the matter. And that's what's so heartbreaking. Okay, deep breath. On to another part of the story. Every institution designed to protect children in Ohio missed the 16 Sider kids. Hospitals, schools, child services, welfare, the courts. Now the case of obviously national news and the survival instincts are kicking in. Let's talk about this agency by agency. Who's failed the most, who's exposed, and who's going to move first to rewrite their own role in this. I think that's an interesting thing to watch as we continue to discuss this and this continues to come out, because you know, we see the AG's office being very harsh. Great. You know, there's horrible conditions, you know, I forgot the exact terms, but it was very, you know, feral children basically. You have all this, you have all 16 kids born at hospitals. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. Roughly one delivery every 13 months for 18 years. No prenatal records, no pediatrician ever. Hospitals are mandated reporters. Okay, lovely. There is a system in place for mandated reporting, but it doesn't matter when the reporting goes to an agency that can't do anything. I mean, how does this pattern not ring a single bell somewhere?
So when we see a wobble, right, and that's a deviation from what we typically expect in situations like this, and no one else does, that says that it's not a wobble to them.
Yeah.
I mean, so when it's not a wobble to, I can't even look at that photo. You gotta take that down, Todd. It's horrible.
I know, it's like The Walking Dead. If you were to, like, this is a horror movie cast.
And, you know, and my daughter's a nurse, and so I get the HIPAA and stuff on this. We've dealt with it in other cases. And so there's a lot of things in play. I really do think, though, that it's a normalized, I wouldn't say probably to this extreme, but my daughter's told me stories about the people that come in there to give birth, and you have caring, compassionate nurses that do the best they can. They take care of them, and out the door they go. And I have heard some, and she doesn't even share too much because she can't.
Yeah.
But there are some truly horrendous stories out there of what comes into hospitals to give birth. And once, and there's a, they are really limited at what they can. Okay, so say they report it. All right, so they do a good job. The hospital reports it. It's not having prenatal care is not illegal. I mean, in other words, it only when one thing popped up illegal did someone go in there and see it on a different thing, because everything these people did wasn't illegal until, well, at least then when it comes to, yes, they were, but they were living in such a way that their normal behavior wasn't spiking in anyone's spectrum.
Because it's such a norm.
It's so normalized. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't notice the water in the pool is at a certain temperature. You know, it is what it is. I mean, we have fire departments. We have police departments. Should we have people departments? I mean, we kind of do, but those seem to be the least funded and least give a shit about. But those seem to be the things that lead to most of our problems with the police and the fire department. If we could get the people under control a little bit more, we'd have less use for these over here. But instead, and we don't fund those well enough to begin with, and certainly the people departments aren't defunded well enough either. I mean, should we have something like that? Do we need something like that? I think it's almost beyond a should question at this point. And it's, oh, don't tread on my rights. Well, you know what? If you got nothing to hide and you're providing a safe place, the bar doesn't have to be tremendously high. It doesn't have to really super even be based on income. It just has to be based on safety. And any blind person, Ray Charles from the grave, could have told you that that was not a safe place for children. Yet we have all of the living around that are like, yeah, you know, they like to collect shit or whatever they're telling themselves.
So again, I getting granular helps you understand how this problem exists and how it keeps perpetuating. And so it needs more money, needs more funding.
Yeah.
All right. So here's how that works. And
it means
this
more
is
enforcement and removal of people
well,
from
think
society.
Think about this, Tony. This is why, I just came from a board meeting. I sit on a board for a local airport in my county.
Yeah.
And when you work, so that funding, where does funding come from? It comes from taxes. What kind of tax base do you think this county has?
It's next to nothing.
Right. So now you got to go to state in order to get state funding for programs like this. So state, what counties do you think this county has a good articulate voice in their state capital compared to a richer county in their state capital?
No.
See what I mean? And then so the state's going to fail. You're going to require the federal government to hopefully come in. But what's the federal government going to find? So you see how this trickle down.
Everybody just tosses to the next and go,
yes,
that's not my problem.
Because
it's
they're incapable of, yeah. So they can justify in verbiage, you know, why this is important. But when it comes down to push and shove, if you have a limited pool of money, who's going to get the money?
Yeah.
The shiny people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I know I'm saying that's right, but you're exactly right.
That's why this happens.
Of what happens, yeah.
And it keeps perpetuating the cycle of stupid.
Yeah.
And
I saw a comment there like, didn't the hospital staff notice the stench? I'm sure they did.
Probably. I guarantee they do.
And that's the heartbreaking part of it is like, I'm not blaming the hospital staff because their hands are tied. I mean, what do you expect? The nurses are going to go kidnap the children and run?
No.
I mean, I'm sure there's several that really wish they could, but they'd also not like to spend the rest of their lives in prison.
I know what they're doing. I mean, you can imagine this, right? Again, I'm so passionate about this because I have beautiful people in my life. I'm so fortunate. I got a daughter and son and wife and you and your family. I guarantee you the nurses and staff in the hospital are doing this. When they see a family, I'm not saying this situation, although most likely, when you see a family like this come in, what do? Before they walk out the door, they grab everything they possibly can, extra diapers, medicine, anything they can that are trials, anything they can. They're walking them out the door with as much free stuff as they possibly humanly can because of the compassion they have with the limited resources they have. You know they're doing that above and beyond. I have seen it so many times, but it still doesn't fix the problem of 18 kids living in squalor. But they're doing their best to put their one little compassionate Band-Aid they can on it, but it still is not going to fix the funding issue of how fiscally this works in our system of taxation around the country.
I mean, it's insane. It's utterly insane.
It's bone-crushing.
It is soul-crushing. The judge, the West Virginia judge who married off a pregnant 15-year-old to an adult yeah. who got her pregnant. So she's 15. She would have been 14 at the time that she got knocked up by the mutant. Signed the license and moved on. Again, it's probably not a wobble. It's probably a fairly normal thing in this part of the country. And, oh, that's how they live up there in those hills. Ain't that cute? These sort of things, it feels like, I mean, the institutions to a certain extent, the people who are, that do have decision-making power, that can make a difference. I'm not expecting, the nurses can report and do all they want, but if it goes nowhere, it goes nowhere. This is a judge, a judge who could have said, no, I don't think so. I think we need to look into this a little bit more. But again, if it's the norm and you just sign off on this shit, what do you do? What do you do if the judges are also part of the ecosystem in such an intimate way that they don't even recognize any of this as being off? It's just how they do life.
Besides, the law is a law. The judge is going to follow the law. So let's say they change the law. Do you think, I mean, seriously, think about this situation exactly here. If the law was different and it was illegal for the parents to sign off on the 15-year-old getting married, do you think anything would have changed?
No.
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 This again, what I mean, if we could get, so here's what we really need to do. If we want to spend money on something, everyone keeps trying to buy a better Band-Aid to fix the problem. Stop spending money on Band-Aids and start fixing the problem. How? Like this happen because of generational stupid. You got
without just like going and counselors, like gutting communities, because I think some of these, I mean, when you look at those people, do you think most of them are rehabitable? I mean,
so it's got to start somewhere, and it does happen. I mean, people, you know, like I come from a family where I was first generational professional. You know, mm-hmm. neither my parents had been to college before me. Home ownership, same thing, and so there. But in order to do that, you have to have at least, because this is what I do when I'm assessing any one or any case, is like someone turns out really healthy in life after trauma experiences, I'm always saying, who was it? Who was it earlier in your life that you were able to anchor to that kind of gave you that spark and inspiration to walk a different path? And so in cases like this is why the program, great programs out there like Big Brothers and Big Sisters, you have scouting, you know, you have all these different programs, but if it can't infiltrate itself in, there's no one to can grab on and help rescue people, not rescue people like we're going to get you better services. No, it's how do you touch a life at those developmental years between 9 and 19 as a prefrontal cortex fully forming. I mean, again, mm-hmm. put his politics aside. This happened to Vance. Vance's meemaw, his grandmother is the one that saved him from that drug addicted house he was living in with his mother. All right. Mm-hmm. So you have a stabilizing person in that life that can actually start just modeling a behavior for you because everyone wants to be healthy. Everyone's going to go and gravitate towards things that make them feel safe, people that see them, people that value them. And so whether it happens through counselors or programs, simple programs, and ensuring they're in these sectors of the country, like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or something, I don't know. It's things like that where you don't buy Band-Aids because Band-Aids only do temporary fixes, but getting down at that root core level, we can actually start affecting those lives at that early developmental time period, so you can start overwriting generational stupid, generational trauma. I mean, this is what people talk about all the time.
It feels like the generational stupid needs to have like a hard stop. Like literally, the kids need to be completely separated from the generational stupid adults, and just like,
that, you know what does that
if we want to, if we want to break it, we got to break it somehow. But I mean, then you get into, I mean, really, you know, weird territory, and I'm not like suggesting anything crazy, or maybe I am, but I don't know truly how you actually stop it without somehow the idea that we're going to respect the rights of the mutant adults.
Here's an idea. You know, I asked my family members, you know, that had some, I want to call my own family stupid, but some generational issues, say, right?
Sure.
You know, the greatest thing that I know saved people in my family was they were sent away to summer camp. just a summer. So they're disconnected from the family for a couple of weeks during the summer, and they went out into the woods with healthy people.
Yeah.
We're not talking IBLP here. You know, that they had a great, healthy summer camp experience with good trained counselors, and they just had a good, healthy relationship experience during those formative years. So say, again, this isn't going to fix everything, but say in counties like this, that instead of investing in Band-Aids, they invest in getting some good summer programs in there for summer camps, because it doesn't take a lot. I mean, how do people generate and want to go into aviation or into broadcasting? I mean, you're a great example, Tony. You know, Todd hired you at 14, and so you really grabbed onto this. It didn't take a series of every summer or every weekend. It was like one spark, one inspiration at that right time in your life. Developmental years allowed you to feel safe, heard, seen, valued, and all of a sudden we're latching on and saving ourselves from our generational stupid.
Yeah.
If you create more opportunities like that, it's, again, not everything, but it's one more thing.
I've seen it firsthand in my life with some folks as well. A young man that's gotten away from his mutant-like family, basically. But the problem is the system to this day, because this is not an adult yet, the system to this day is hell-bent on reconnecting this kid with the abusive family, because family reunification. That's the biggest fucking problem in our system, is this idea that reconnecting with your DNA family is the best idea. It's the worst fucking idea in most of these cases. So that's something that needs to be broken in terms of how the systems operate, why they operate. Every psychologist will say the same damn thing, yet we still operate off of some god-awful thought process from decades and decades and decades ago, which then just continues to perpetuate this horrific system. I think this young man is going to succeed. He's going to break the mold and he's going to be fine. But all of the other folks in that ecosystem, they're fucked. I mean, I can guarantee it, because the system, keep going back to the abusers. Keep going back to the abusers, no matter what, because they had a bad day once. Or some, you know,
we're overlooking like the simpler, simple solution that we've come up with before: parenting licenses.
Kind of, yes. No, I completely agree. You know, just, that's where it's like the people department. I was saying, you know, like when you have a child, someone needs to go make sure that you have a safe place. We, in many states, there's vehicle inspections to get your license renewed or your tag
how
renewed.
Do you prevent that?
you fund it. You have people in these. You actually have departments. You don't have like one person for five gazillion.
No,
children.
I was like talking physically. How do you stop that?
Oh, I mean, they're all lovely ideas. But again, it would have to get into the give a shit level, and then we're going to fund it correctly.
You have to hand over your set when you're born and then get it back when you get your license.
Yeah. Then what do you do when somebody fails? There's not enough people that are out there that are willing to take the kids in. We have that problem right now. Do we need to go, you know, I feel like there was other ideas in history that were not so great that if we revisited and did correctly could solve a lot of our problems. Like there are orphanages do exist to this day, and they're not lovely places, but could we elevate this where it's not such a bad place, and it's much better than the idea of family reunification or just things like that, where we can make that basically permanent summer camp, and it's not such, oh, we were constantly relying on getting the children rehomed into somebody that will take them in for however long, and then they get shuffled the next place. Let's just, can we do like a good version of orphanages? Can we do a good version of state hospitals, which we used to have too, which got destroyed in the 80s by Reagan? Like, if we could do these things correctly, and they were not done correctly in the past in many cases, but I think if we could do them correctly and fund them correctly, these could be the off ramps for these children to have a chance at life. But our system always says your best chance at life is being with the morons who shit you out.
And the other part of this problem is that you always then have some abhorrent human being that comes in and figures out how to corrupt the system. And so,
and that, like, yeah,
because
yeah,
what happens is that people get paid extra money if they're on food stamps, the more kids you have. And so that could have been part of this too, is that the more kids you have, the more money I get. I just keep you in squalor. I keep the money because
just
these problems can be fixed, though. These are these are the same problems we've always had, and like nothing ever gets changed. And I feel like there's a reason for it. I just feel like there is, and not a good reason. I really believe the more we've done this show, the more we talk about these cases, that the child welfare system is a clearinghouse for pedophiles. I think at the end of the day, I think that there is that it's child trafficking, and there is a lot intermingled with it, and there's a reason this doesn't get investigated. There's a reason these systems don't get fixed. There's a reason funding doesn't get there. These are huge problems for our society, and we don't do anything about fixing them. Why? Because it might lead somewhere nobody wants anybody to look. That would be my guess. Ohio gutted the homeschool oversight in 2023, and a senator who voted for it is now saying, oh, we should revisit that. Maybe gutting the homeschool laws of just having a parent sign off and say, I teach them stuff, isn't enough. That maybe we should have a little oversight here. Maybe that was a bad idea in 2023 to lower the bar. What do you make of that?
Well, matter of fact, I even wrote it down as soon as you said it. Revisit. I think that's part of our challenge, too, is that no one fixes something and then stays with it. They then move on to the next thing. And so you put a Band-Aid on it, you make a good campaign slogan, you get reelected or elected or whatever you want to do because we took care of the people. But then you move on to something else that's going to, you know, start funding your next election campaign. And so you got to revisit it. And the homeschooling issue here in that, again, what it lacked? It lacked accountability and follow-up. You know, the first lesson in every leadership class I ever went to inside the Marine Corps and anywhere else is leaders, one of the most important thing leaders do is follow up. You know, if you're going to fix a problem, if you're going to create a solution, if you're going to innovate through something, the most important thing you do after you implement a solution to anything is follow up. And then the next most important thing you do is you set up sustainability and accountability for that follow-up. And that's what all these non-leaders are doing. You know, you start getting in the victim-blaming mode and you see the world as a victim and you're a victim and you're not solving the problem. And I'm not talking about the people on the receiving. I'm talking about the people that should be leading us through these things. That's what problem solvers do. Problem solvers come up with solutions. They implement solutions. They have follow-up to those solutions and they make them sustainable. Yeah. None of that's happening in any of these cases, including the homeschooling problem.
No, you're exactly right. Thoughts and in the comments?
And I'm sorry, in the last comment, there are some really great homeschooling solutions that have come around because of this, because people innovated through this, through the pandemic and everything else. I've seen it, and people are getting into great schools because of it, into great trade schools, but when it fell apart in this system, this chaos happened.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've seen it firsthand as well. The homeschooling world, and I want to say this because we always get, when we say the word homeschooling, so many people take quick offense and and it's like, I think you need to identify what the hell's going on in your world that you're getting so triggered by the word homeschool. But there are lovely people that do homeschooling. Those worlds have evolved. It's such a fast pace because of the pandemic, and there are tremendous options out there. And I think that's great, because I do not think regular education is the right, solution for every person.
Especially where you live.
Exactly. But when all you have to do is say, I teach peoples in my backyard, you know, that's not acceptable.
Or Jim Bob's curriculum and an IBLP. That ain't homeschooling either. That don't count.
Exactly. So it's like having standards and not just word service.
Again,
is
accountability.
A huge accountability.
Yep.
Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. One more section I want to get here to the Sider family was only found because of that misdemeanor warrant. These are the ones who got caught. These are the families there's families out there who haven't been caught. They're everywhere. Everywhere you want to be, if you will. There's good Samaritan laws out there that protect you if you choose to act. Nothing is required. Nothing requires you to. I mean, staying silent about a child in danger carry a consequence, or is that a line that we can't cross? I don't know. I mean, it seems like, again, we were talking about this earlier. I feel like I see this all the time, just out in stores, out in society. It's overwhelming. I mean, is that part of our problem here when we're when we're focusing on what has to change is educating society or trying to revamp society in some sort of way that has become so numb to this, so numb to horrible parenting, so numb to just they're everywhere. But they have to feel empowered. They have to feel enabled if they're going to say something, because what's the point of making that phone call? What's the point of writing that email? What's the point of pointing it out to the security guard at the store or whatever? If absolutely nothing happens, nobody's going to say anything. And I think that's where we're at. That's why nobody is doing anything half the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors I think play into that, Tony. One is recognizing it, because we second guess ourselves. I mean, I do this all the time with myself, even with the show. You know, you second guess yourself and the things you say and the perceptions you're getting and the feedback you get. And so you second guess yourself because you know, one of the great tools we have as a species and the great hindrances is that disease of comparison. And we are our own worst critics, we're our own worst judges, and so we're thinking we must be wrong because they all must be right. So that's part of it that it comes into play on this one. We also fall into the trap of fear. Fear is the greatest motivator of us as a species there is. And if you fear the action, you're not going to take the action. And so being able to, as a society, as messaging put out there, to have people not fear taking an action is also an important part of this. So, and then who do you go to with it? Because just like the scenario you just gave, you know, the security guard, a manager of a store, a bank, a hospital, what happens is, in situations like this most likely, is say you and I, granted, if we're together, we'd have more groupthink going, so we probably would take an action. But say, you know, I walk into a hospital and I see something, I see a wobble. All right, so I see a wobble. I see some interesting folks waiting in a delivery waiting room. I see disheveled kids. The smell is overwhelming, and I might have a small engagement. Say, hey, you know, giving birth, and they say yes. But my spider senses are tingling. I got a deviation from norm. The first thing I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start looking for someone to talk to. Report to. Hospital might be a little different because I can talk to a nurse, and a nurse said, don't worry, I got it taken care of, because they're ready to put a Band-Aid on. But say I'm somewhere else, like you said, like a security guard, I'm walking in a department store or something. And now you're assessing the information that you have, the importance of that information. Now you're assessing on first impressions who I'm going to give it to. That and when you're dealing with an area and a society and a culture in these areas, is who you're going to report it to any better than who you're reporting about? So that's also, so in other words, who do you report it to? And there's no safe zone in order to walk to. And I call it the safe tube. And why I use that expression, because inside the FBI, when I was recruiting not just confidence human sources, but when you're trying to recruit the big ones, you know, the spy or an intelligence officer for a foreign country, you're trying to put yourself in a position where they can find you and feel safe in reaching out to you. Because it's not enough that I can solve all the problems in their lives. They have to feel safe in how to contact me, how to get to me, and that I'm the right person. And so that's part of this problem is also. So say you see something as important as this, who do I feel safe in sharing that with? And who do I feel safe in sharing that with that there's not going to be negative blowback on me for doing it? So that's the other part. There's so many different facets of this.
I keep going back to the hospital, and again, I'm not blaming the hospital workers, because in the current state of what the laws are and what can be done and can't be done, they did what they could do. Do we need to revise this more in the neonatal world of what we are accepting of, where, oh, you made a person, now it's yours, good luck. When you see, I mean, the track record of 18 children coming through here, you had the conjoined twins. So you got some genetic problems probably going on, wild guess. I'm going to guess, again, just conjecture. My wild, wild guess is that there's probably a little incest going on here. And it's probably not all these kids are necessarily the husband. Again, that would be my wild guess. Can't confirm it. Don't know it. But, you know, I think I probably know it. should there be more testing going on, especially in areas where there is suspicion? And it's not to say, well, we can't identify the DNA of the father or the mother, because there'll be plenty of cases where the dad's missing. But where, when there is a dad around, or there is parents around, and you see a situation like this, should there be some mandatory DNA testing going on to go, oh, look, this child shares the DNA of dad and daughter, not dad and husband? That right there, if there was a little test done, could have told us a lot very quickly. And somebody could have stepped in and said, what the fuck's happening here? Because clearly, the woman in this case who was having the children, I mean, to a certain extent, a victim as well. To a certain extent. I am in no way giving her a free pass after shitting out that many children. You are an adult. You can make your own decisions, and you do have some level of responsibility. But you do got to question the competency level of what she was even capable of as well. But should we have more tests done, things like that, to intervene, to see what's really behind the curtain and not just what the mutants tell us?
Sure, but I'm thinking of cost. Who's going to pay for it? Again, it keeps coming back to that again. I'm sorry to keep making it about, you know, the real world logistics of it. And so, again, I don't know the particulars of this case. But,
well, we have trillions to go and attack countries. But unprovoked. So, why can't we help our own?
So I'd be really, again, I think more will be coming to light on this. And I don't know the facts and details when she was 15, when she first started giving birth to someone who was 18 at the time or 19. I really wonder how willing she actually was for all these 18 kids as well. So that's going to be also part of all these. God, we've seen this on so many cases.
It's just insane, because it's like you look at this family, you look at the pattern, the extensive pattern of behavior that was demonstrated over and over and over, and they're like, oh, it's just a family that has a lot of kids. It's not. It's like looking at a hamburger going, look at it. It's a patty, and there's a sesame seed bun, and there's pickles, and there's lettuce, and there's tomato on there. That hamburger, that's what I call a taco. It's clearly a hamburger. Mm-hmm. Why are we pretending it's something that it's not? Like, this is clearly a family that's very likely violating each other, and is... It's The Hills Have Eyes, one that didn't make it to the theaters because it was too extreme.
I really think it, you know, we've talked about this all the time too. It's a sad fact also of, if you look at the demographic and the economic status which they come from, I think that's a huge driving force in this, because 18 and counting, we still got the Duggar family. Look how they were covered. And they got our attention because of all the kids, but in a much, much different way than this family of exactly the same number, but different social and economic status. And it's just both abhorrent, both created monsters, and not the children, you know, that we don't know about the 18, you know, in this case. But in the Duggars, they created two monsters, at least in that family, you know, with the boys. And yet they still had the positive, you know, framing around them. I mean, just think
you can have a shiny, happy version of this too, which is essentially that. And then you can have a decrepit, hoarder's hellish version like this. Similar, you know, different, you know, similar different types of abuse all going on. It's just framed in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of what we are willing to say we accept in our society as being okay with giving people the autonomy that they have. Should they have as much as they do? Or when is the step-in time? When we frame it of this is abuse and they're doing it for this reason? Because it seems to come down to reason half the time. It's like, well, their religion says this is how it goes. And if you saw the same sort of abuse and there wasn't the religion aspect, it's just they're being shitty human beings, oh my God, go after them. But when you interject that, a little God to the sprinkle, suddenly it's like, oh, well, we got to respect this shit. Like, no, I don't think we do. Abuse is abuse.
Yeah, abuse is abuse. And especially when you're dealing with children, and the accountability of everyone involved should be higher. But again, I think just go at it at that younger age with some better programs. And so can you imagine? So I'm going to, I'm going to say this is generational stupid that caused this. This was not two parents, you know, the 15-year-old, now older, obviously, but with malicious intent. It was just two really, really stupid people with generational stupid, right? I know I keep saying it. I'm getting redundant with it. But you say to that young couple that has their first couple kids and now at grade school level, do you think they wouldn't take advantage of someone coming in and saying, hey, listen, we got a free summer program for your kids. All you have to do is sign. They'll go away. They'll have a nice experience. It's hard to imagine them not saying, hey, that's a great idea. They're out of our hair for the summer.
I think you do because you have a level of not wanting to be exposed.
If they're hiding something, right.
Which most of them are.
Yeah. Well said.
But you're going to have to bet on the idea that they're smart enough to think ahead on that. And a lot of them aren't. A lot of them aren't going to think ahead enough to go, oh, me sending my child away where my child might expose the hellhole that they live in, might. But you do have enough that do get self-protective enough that will, you know, insulate and not let the world see because it will come back.
So
to
I don't think you're going to capture everyone on it, but.
No.
From what I've read and what I've experienced, not everyone that is living in hell thinks they're living in hell and thinks they need to hide it. It's just their way of life. You know, and so you're going to be able to capture at least those. So I think a simple program, something like that, would capture more and save more because I don't think it would fall completely flat. Are you going to capture everyone? No, you're not going to capture the ones. Because remember, just like if someone's bent and determined to do harm to another person, whether you have gun laws or not, they're going to do harm to another person. They're going to use a car. They're going to use a knife. They're going to use something to do harm to this other individual because they're inconceivably rage baited into it, right?
Yeah.
Now, in the same case here, if someone has been determined to hide their abhorrent behavior from officials and from someone coming in, they're going to be able to do it. But you're going to be able to capture more that are completely unaware of the fact or more oblivious to the fact that, wow, my lifestyle and the way I'm living and raising my kids is really, really, really not healthy at all because that's all they've ever known. So those are the ones you might be able to capture.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the ecosystem in that house of those people, in no way am I giving them a pass, but I don't know that any of them had the intellectual ability to recognize anything was wrong.
I don't think so either.
I think that's part of it to a certain extent. I know like people are saying, well, they had social media accounts. They were able to go here and there. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what people can do. It's amazing how much people can function somewhat in society and still their brain and what they're registering as normal and okay and acceptable, it is truly not to the rest of the world, registers it as that, and they don't see the outside.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see? I mean, so if they had social media accounts, if they had TikTok, wouldn't it be amazing to kind of look? I'd be so interested in seeing what they actually followed on social media.
I don't know that. I mean, I saw some comments saying they did. I can't confirm it. I don't know, but I'm going to keep digging into this. It will come out. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're watching, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's on YouTube. Press subscribe. We do greatly appreciate that. We're here every day live at 11 a.m.
And before you go, throughout the day. My and Todd's and Lisa's heartfelt thanks for all you do for making this look easy. Because I can tell you firsthand, I've been with you for about 4 years now. I've sat by your side and you make it look so easy. And I can tell you, it is not easy. So thank you for coming back.
Well, thank you for filling in. I thank you for helping steer the ship and Todd and Lisa and everybody. My goodness. It was lovely to get a week away and just take a breath. And come back fired up. I was in airports all day yesterday putting together stuff for today's show and getting myself educated on the story. And I was just fuming the whole day of just like, oh, my God, these people.
Not good for the soul.
Yes. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books. Amazon, also audiobooks, Audible. Check it out. Leave a review as well. Until next time, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind. Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games. It's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games. It's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.